The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices. The Hayes Advantage. Your advantage on politics.
The president has won. Campaign is over. And now it's about the hard work of governing. Our country's in some real trouble when it comes to jobs and debt.
The key challenge is for the administration and Congress to say, enough's enough. We're going to set the country onto a sustainable fiscal path.
We're not going to solve the deficit problem or many other problems unless we can get at least some modicum of compromise.
I am looking forward to reaching out and working with leaders of both parties to meet the challenges we can only solve together.
The Hayes Advantage. Politics in Focus on Bloomberg Radio.
And as you said yourself, Kathleen, it is a little bit of geopolitics today. We're going to be speaking Iran. We are going to be speaking with somebody from the Eurasia Group, Cliff Kupchan. He's senior analyst at Eurasia Group on the Middle East and Iran. After the elections, of course, and the Iranian president now announcing his cabinet, we have reformists, centrists and conservatives in the cabinet. And also, according to Cliff, the economic team is strong. And of course, for Iran, the economy is all important.
It certainly is. And Iranian President Hassan Rouhani saying his country is, quote, seriously determined to resolve the dispute over its nuclear program with Western powers without compromising its right to nuclear power for peaceful purposes. Here's a quote from him. We are for negotiations. This was his first news conference after taking office this month. And he says also, we are ready to enter without wasting time in negotiations that are substantive and serious. And of course, he succeeds Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who took office in 2005. This is potentially a very big deal for the Middle East and, of course, for U.S. relations with Iran.
And indeed, we have our guest now, Cliff Kupchan, on the line with us, the Ring Central phone line from Eurasia Group. Welcome and thanks for joining us, Cliff.
My pleasure.
So the first few days, very, very important for the new president, Hassan Rouhani. Will he be seen as a strong leader?
I think so far so good. The best judge is the cabinet that was appointed on Sunday, which is a centrist cabinet. He got his way in appointing cabinet members. The supreme leader does not seem to have imposed his will on him. And that's really the best data point so far. Within that point, Javad Zarif, who I know very well for many years as the foreign minister, he is among the most able diplomats that I've ever dealt with. So I think he's off to a good start.
So he's off to a good start. Can we trust him? He seems to be talking the right talk. Is it sincere? You say doesn't seem to be interfered with by the supreme leader. But, you know, is this a show or is this the real deal?
Happy talk or a real deal? I mean, the verdict's not in. He is a man of the system. We know that. He was a member of the Supreme National Security Council, their National Security Council, for 24 years. He was a member of the Parliament for 20 years. He is not a reformer. He's a moderate. There's a big difference. That said, I met him, too, over a three-hour lunch. And you ask him a question, you get an answer. You ask Ahmadinejad a question, you get a diatribe. So I think at least he deserves the benefit of the doubt, and we should test him with at least guarded optimism. I'm not sure we're going to do that, but that's what we should do.
Well, is it possible at least that sanctions might be lifted under this president? Because obviously things have to go bit by bit, and he has to save face within his community as well as the international community.
The U.S. is not going to be lifting sanctions anytime soon. The administration believes that Iran has to take the first step and show that they're serious this time. I think that could prove to be a mistake. I think that we have to, the United States needs to offer Iran something more forthcoming than we have so far in terms of sanctions relief. Iran is going to have to accept significant constraints on its nuclear program in order to receive sanctions relief. It's not clear to me in the near term they're prepared to do so. No time quick.
Cliff, could you give us then a little bit of a primer on what that would mean? What it would mean for them to take the sanctions? Where is the common ground where they might agree that, okay, we'll take this limitation so we can go ahead with the peaceful, quote-unquote, purposes for nuclear power?
Right.
Where's the point where it's very hard to get agreement?
The United States and its allies are insisting that Iran stop producing medium-enriched uranium, which is very close to weapons grade, that Iran agree to shut a deeply buried nuclear facility, and that Iran agree to vastly more intrusive inspections. And in return, we're not willing to give them much sanctions relief. I actually think Iran would agree to those demands if they were granted significant relief from oil and financial sanctions. Now, the main sticking point, ironically, or one of the main sticking points, is that it would take the United States president no less than seven separate waivers, presidential waivers on sanctions. That's how overlaid these things are, in order to get that. So, there are structural barriers on both sides, including on the American side.
You know, there have been reports of huge inflation in Iran and real economic difficulty.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for information to get out because, of course, they're tamping that down.
Right.
But,
you
know, how are the citizenry doing?
It depends which citizenry. I mean, the Revolutionary Guard people connections are doing just fine. The middle class is getting decimated. The banking system is frozen. Inflation is running at 40 to 50% annualized. Youth unemployment is about 30%. So the vast bulk of people are really hurting. Now, you know, an Iranian friend of mine said that, you know, you Americans are so arrogant. You think you can hurt our economy worse than we can by ourselves. And he's got a point because, you know, domestic mismanagement has been central to all of this. But when you combine economic mismanagement, which Rouhani may well improve, by the way, but when you combine Ahmadinejad's mismanagement with U.S. sanctions, you've got a really, really, really floundering economy.
And when, in a recent note, Cliff, you say that the Rouhani government is inclusive and likely to usher
right.
in a much more stable domestic policy.
Yes.
How is this going to happen? And can he bring about the changes aided by the cabinet we've talked about already and turn this thing around?
Can he? I think he can. I mean, it's inclusive because he's known to be a consensus builder, and he wasn't building the cabinet. He's got reformist centrists and real hardliners in the cabinet. So, you know, there's a flavor in there to please every constituency. Now, can he turn this around? A lot depends on Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, who still calls the shots. Will he let Rouhani? Will he give him the running room to turn the thing around? If he does, yes, he can turn it around. If he doesn't, no, I don't think he can. It really depends on Khamenei. But I will say that Khamenei himself and the range of conservative Iranian elites, for the first time during the election period, stated publicly that Iran is in dire economic circumstances. So I think they're swallowing the coffee right now, and I actually think that the chances of Iran coming to the table more seriously are better than most Americans think. And I hope we get it and don't blow another opportunity.
Some of the comments that I've been reading suggest that everything that's being done now is being done with a view to maybe not appeasing the United States, but at least dealing with the United States and not any other country.
Yeah.
Is this the only way that Iran can move forward? Can it discount the United States at all?
No. The Iranians have, for I would say the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years, at least in my meetings with them, been saying that they want to talk to the United States, they don't want to talk to the Europeans, they don't want to talk to the Russians, they don't want to talk to the Chinese. That the Americans hold the keys to every door they want. And this multilateral diplomacy by the West is just a big waste of time, and they're not interested. Now, you know, there's a contradiction there, because every time we want to do a bilateral with them, they won't show up.
Right, exactly.
But I think and I hope under Rouhani and his new team, you know, most of whom speak English as well as we do, that they will come around and they will show up to a meeting. And once they get in the room together, anything can happen.
So do you have a sense of how Rouhani and others view President Obama's position towards Iran, towards the Middle East, how they viewed Hillary Clinton versus John Kerry?
I mean, their views of U.S. policy in the Middle East are quite nuanced. I mean, these guys are extremely smart. They take, I think, unfortunately and very dangerously, they take U.S. lack of action in Syria as a sign of weakness. And they don't understand that there is a huge, thick firewall between U.S. Syria policy and what we could do to Iran should they continue their nuclear weapons program. I don't I think they are actually considerably fonder of John Kerry than Hillary Clinton. They saw Hillary Clinton as very close to AIPAC, very tough on Iran. John Kerry has written that Iran should be allowed to have a domestic enrichment program, a nuclear program. I think he kind of tried to walk it back, but he has written it. So I think he's got more credibility. Now, as you know, Kerry is spending most of his time in Jerusalem and Ramallah. He's not paying much attention to the Iranians, and we'll see if that evolves or not. But I think he would be a net plus for the negotiation.
Speaking of Israel, do the Iranians need to speak more with Israel?
Well, they're not going to. Iran's view of Israel is really deeply ingrained post-revolutionary baggage. They're not going to be talking to the Israelis publicly. I mean, fascinating, you know, some of the academic conferences I go to, Iranian academics do talk to Israeli academics. Being a fly on the wall during those conversations is just fascinating. But the government policy is not going to change. What has changed, though, there, and I've been to Israel many times and going again in 2 weeks, is that the Israelis know they can't do much to the Iranian nuclear program. There's very little talk of an Israeli strike anymore. So that's not going to happen.
Cliff Kupchan, thank you so very much. Fascinating discussion of Iran and its new president.
Anytime.
From the Eurasia Group.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.